Okay, we're talking about the benefits and the virtues of the Quran. And today what we're going to do is focus on what happens to people who abandon the Quran. And we're going to talk about, you know, how when people deviate away from the Quran, what happens to them. But before we do so, let me ask you guys some questions from yesterday's lecture to make sure that everybody understands the concepts that need to be understood. First question, who can tell me what are some of the names given to the Quran by Allah? Yesterday we talked about how the Quran has many names. Many names of the Quran which were given by Allah. Who can tell me what are some of those names? Very good. Allah refers to the Quran as being a guidance and a mercy. Very good, brother servant. Also, the Quran is referred to as being Al-Furqan. Very good. It is also referred to as being the book. What else? Very good. The Quran is also referred to as being a healing. Very good. What else? The book of good news. Very good. The Mushaf, which means, yes, that it's that too. What else? What else? What are some more terms that Allah refers to the Quran as being? Who can remember? Very good. It's referred to as bring a bringer of glad tidings. Say this stuff in English, guys. I want you guys to know it in English. Don't, because a lot of people don't understand Arabic terminology. Very good. It's known as a book of glad tidings. It's known as the light. Nur means light. The book of light. Very good. What else? Book of good cheer. Very good. These are all terms that Allah uses to refer to the Quran as. Also, we talked about how important it is to seek knowledge and understanding of the Quran. Who can tell me what should the priority be in reference to a person becoming, embracing Islam? When a person embraces Islam and wants to learn about this religion, what is the first thing that person should learn? Is it hadith? Is it fiqh? What is it? What is the first thing that that person should learn upon embracing Islam? Who can tell me? Very good. The first thing that a person should learn is the Quran. Very good. A lot of people ask the question. A lot of people say, oh, I want to learn about my religion. I want to be a scholar of this religion and all this other stuff. They say, what's the first thing I should learn? Should I study the hadith? Should I study the rulings of fiqh? What should I study first? And the answer is, the first thing you should study is the Quran, because the Quran is the basis of everything. And we talked about that. We talked about how the hadiths are extensions of the Quran. Very good. So the Quran should be your priority. Next question. What is something that we can do to increase our knowledge of the Quran? What is something that we can do to increase our knowledge of the Quran? A lot of people will say, oh, I want to memorize the Quran, or I want to understand the words of Allah, but I can't. What is something that I can do? What is something I can do to help increase my knowledge and increase my understanding? Very good. We can make dua. Make dua. If you want to increase your knowledge and your understanding of this religion, very good, Aisha. We have to learn how to make dua to Allah, asking Allah to do this for us. And the last question. Last question. This is a tricky question, which many people don't understand or don't know. Is there a specific dua to recite to increase your knowledge or understanding of Islam? Is there a specific dua that you can recite to increase your knowledge or understanding of Islam, or knowledge or understanding of the Quran? Is there a specific dua? Very, very good. The answer is no. The answer is no. There's a lot of people out there who innovate in this religion, guys. They think that there's a specific dua to recite. You find a lot of people who they read the Quran and then they make some dua and wipe over their face and hands and kiss it and all this stuff. Okay? There is no specific dua to recite, to ask Allah to give you understanding or knowledge of this religion. There's many, 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 many duas, as Brother Amir is stating here. There are many duas in the Quran and Sunnah that you can recite, but there is not a specific one. The bottom line is, it boils down to what I'm always trying to tell you guys here at this website. Everybody here needs to get in the habit of making dua for themselves. Everybody needs to get in the habit of establishing their own relationship with Allah. And you simply say, oh Allah, increase my knowledge, increase my understanding. That's it. There's no specific dua. Okay? So basically that covers what we talked about yesterday. And today we're going to continue on by speaking about the dangers and the warnings from abandoning the Quran. Because this is a problem that we have today. So many people become Muslim, and instead of them learning the Quran, they jump into the areas of fiqh, they jump into the hadith, they jump into seerah and all this other stuff, and then they ask, they wonder why is it that they've been Muslim for years and they still don't know anything. They still don't understand anything about their religion. And some people even apostate, guys. All of this happens when you abandon the Quran. There's also Muslims who innovate. We ask, why is it that people innovate in our religion? Why is it that so many Muslims commit shirk and do all types of acts of innovation? This is because they've gotten away from learning the Quran. Allah tells us in the Quran, in the interpretation, the meaning, He speaks about this. He says, and the messenger said, O my Lord, my people have abandoned the Quran. Allah tells us in the Quran how the Quraysh abandoned the Quran. They would not allow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come to them, rehearsing the words of Allah to them. When a person abandons the Quran, they do things like the Quraysh did at the beginning when the Prophet came to them. For example, when the Quran is being recited, a person will make noise to try to not hear the speech. And this is what the Quraysh used to do. They would stand and put their hands in their ears. They would hum a song. They would sing or do other things to try to prevent others from listening to the Prophet Muhammad. Also, another way of abandoning the Quran is by not pondering the meaning, by not thinking of the word, which is what many Muslims do today. There's a lot of Muslims, guys, who can read Arabic, who can read the Quran in Arabic, but they don't understand the meaning of what they're saying. They don't speak the Arabic language, but they can recite it. Okay, we talked about how that's not enough. You need to also think about the meaning. You have to ponder the meaning. If you don't ponder the meaning of the Quran, then you are abandoning it. And this is why I tell you guys, there's a lot of people out there who have memorized the Quran by heart, know it by heart, but they don't pray, or they sell drugs, or they engage in other acts of haramity. They commit adultery because although they have memorized the Quran by heart, they don't understand what the meaning of what they're reciting. So this is another way of abandoning the Quran, is by not pondering the meaning. not acting upon what you know. This is another abandonment of the Quran. Not obeying the orders of Allah. This is another example of abandoning the Quran. Also, turning to something other than it. For example, I know some people who have memorized the Quran, but they are engaged in music. They love to play music, listen to music. This is another example of abandoning the Quran. Okay, so we have to understand, guys, that we need to stick to the Quran and not abandon it. And this goes hand in hand what we talked about yesterday. When you do learn the Quran, when you learn a surah or a verse in Arabic, you need to also understand the meaning of that verse, and then you have to apply it to yourself. Apply it to yourself. A lot of people may have knowledge of this religion, but very few of those people may have understanding. And true understanding of this religion comes from implementing that knowledge, from putting that knowledge that you have attained into action. Allah says in the Quran, in the interpretation of the meaning, indeed, in this, there is a remembrance for those who have a living heart. Listen attentively, and people who are awake to taking heed. In order to truly get any benefit from the words of Allah, you have to have a living heart. A living heart. Your heart cannot be dead. A living heart is a heart that applies what it knows into itself. There are so many people, guys, who have dead hearts, which means their hearts are not moved by the words of Allah. They listen to the words of Allah and it doesn't make them feel anything. There's a lot of people who will come to us and say, what can I do to increase my iman? I listen to the Quran, but it doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't move me. I don't feel anything. When I hear Surah Rahman being recited, it doesn't put fear in me. When I listen to the words of Allah, how He orders us to stay away from this and stay away from that, it doesn't scare me. So what can I do? Well, if you are a person who is not moved by the Quran, if reading a surah such as Surah Rahman doesn't move you, then you are a person who is suffering from a weak heart, a bad heart. And there are things that you need to do to increase your iman. There are things you need to do to make your heart come alive. Because Allah tells us, a person with a heart that is alive is a person who listens attentively to His words and applies them to himself. Well, one of the things that you can do to help heal a weak iman and to help bring life to a dead heart is to think about and try to ponder and understand the meaning of the words. Allah tells us in the interpretation of the meaning, and we have sent down from the Quran that which is a healing and a mercy to those who believe. When we talk about how the Quran is a healing, it's only a healing to those people who have hearts that are alive and filled with iman. Allah put inside the Quran, the Quran is Allah's words. Allah tells us, He gives us promises. He gives us warnings. He gives us commandments. He gives us stories of the previous nations that came before us. He gives us the codes of the best conduct and behavior. And these are the things which will help to strengthen your iman, bring life to a dead heart. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to read the 11th surah of the Quran, the surah Hud. And this surah used to make his hairs stand. stand up in the back of his neck. Reading the outcome of the people like the Ad and the Thamud. This used to make the prophet's hair stand up in the back of his neck. Many of the companions of the prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would become deeply moved with emotions whenever they recited the Quran. For example, Abu Bakr, who was a very soft-hearted man, he used to cry while reciting the Quran and leading the others in prayer. Once Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, Umar, as everybody here knows, was known for his harshness and his strength. But despite the fact that he was such a strong, harsh man, he once became sick as a result of reciting the verse, "Verily, the torment of your Lord will surely come to pass, and there is nothing that can stop it." He stood up reciting that one verse, and he became sick from it. On another occasion, Umar cried when he was reciting the verse, "I, Prophet Jacob, only complained of my grief and sorrow to Allah." So even a man as strong and harsh as Umar was moved to tears when reading and pondering the meaning of certain verses of the Quran. And there's many stories of many of the companions who were moved like this. And after them, their predecessors were moved like this. And this is what we need to do. You need to ponder the meaning. When you read the Quran, think about those words. Think about what's being said. It'll help to increase your iman. It'll help to bring you closer to Allah. And then you can take it further by teaching what you know to others, rehearsing what you have learned from the Quran to others, sharing that knowledge with others. When we talk about sharing our knowledge of Islam with others, we're talking about sharing our knowledge of the Quran with others, rehearsing it, reminding others of what you have learned. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The best of you is he who learns the Quran and teaches it to others." In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hold fast constantly to the Quran, for by him in whose hand lies the soul of Muhammad, it escapes from a person more easily than a camel escapes from its reins." So when you learn the Quran, share that knowledge with others. Rehearse it with your family. Rehearse it with your family and those close to you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, truly through the Quran, Allah exalts some people. In other words, Allah raises some people through the Quran, through their knowledge of the Quran. He also destroys others. He also destroys others with that knowledge. So thus, guys, we need to understand that you cannot allow the Quran to escape you. We cannot abandon the Quran. We have to learn the words of Allah, put them to memory, and put them into practice. And we have to rehearse them over and over with ourselves and with our friends and our families. And thus, by doing this, you then become a person who is a follower of the Quran. We talk about how Islam is based on two concepts, two things: the Book of Allah, which is the Quran, and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By learning the Quran, applying it to ourselves, we are thus keep sticking to it and holding on to it, and then we can truly call ourselves one who follows the Quran. There are so many Muslims today who claim that they believe in the Quran and the Sunnah. But they'll come to you, for example, and they'll say something like this. This is very common amongst women. I'm sure many of you have heard women come to you and say, oh yeah, well, I don't believe in, I reject polygamy completely. I mean, I believe in Allah. I believe in the last day, but I don't believe in the polygamy at all. I mean, I reject that completely. I don't think no man has any business having more than one wife. I just reject that. Well, you have now become a kafir. Guess what, ladies? You become a kafir. You're saying that you have rejected, you are rejecting a verse of the Quran. You are rejecting the fact that Allah says a man can have 2, 3, or 4 wives. You cannot make a statement like that. I mean, you can say that you don't, that you prefer to not indulge in it. You can say, I prefer personally that I don't want to live a life of polygamy. But you cannot just come out and outright reject and say, oh, I don't believe in that at all. I reject it completely. I don't think no man has no business doing it. And I disagree with that. You cannot do that. But there are many women who make comments like that. You have thus abandoned the Quran. You have rejected the words of Allah and you become an unbeliever by doing so. Okay? You have to accept what Allah said. You cannot call yourself a follower of the Quran, but you sit around rejecting different verses. You cannot say that you follow the Quran and Sunnah, but Allah states in the Quran that lawful is the meat, the food of the Christian and Jew. You cannot come back and say, well, I reject that. I know Allah said that we can eat their food, but I think that we shouldn't because they're kafirs. So therefore, I'm going to go around and tell people it's haram to go to the grocery store to buy meat from a Jew or a Christian. This is a lie. Again, this is abandoning the Quran. You cannot do things like that. There are so many Muslims out there who call themselves followers of the Quran and the Sunnah, but they in reality don't follow the Quran and they don't follow the Sunnah. They reject what Allah says. They make haram things that Allah made lawful, such as polygamy. Or they make things haram that Allah made lawful, such as eating the food of the people of the book. We cannot do that. You cannot call yourself a true follower of the Quran when you're going around picking what you want to obey, what you want to accept, and rejecting other verses of the Quran. We need to understand, guys, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the respect of a Muslim who is of old age and a follower of the Quran leads to the pleasure of Allah, provided the follower of the Quran is not a transgressor and that he is not unfaithful to the Quran. We have to remain faithful to the book of Allah. We have to accept what Allah says, even if we don't understand it. Even if you do not understand why a man can have more than one wife, you still have to accept the fact that this is something lawful for them. Even if you don't understand why Allah made pork haram, you still have to accept that it's haram. So you have to remain faithful to the Quran. And by remaining faithful to the Quran, this will thus lead to the pleasure of Allah. Okay. In addition to this, we have a lot of other people who call themselves Muslims. They claim to be followers of the Quran, but they don't just stop there. They take it even further. They claim that there are hidden messages in Allah's words. These are people who read the Quran and they try to add to it. They say there's a hidden meaning. Look at how many times Allah mentions His name. Look at how many times Allah mentions the word thus. That 99 times, that means there's powers in the number 10. This type of Sufism, this type of mysticism, this is crazy too, guys. This is another way of abandoning the Quran. You don't go around adding to what Allah has to say. You don't go around looking for a hidden message or a hidden meaning behind what Allah says. If Allah says He has two hands, He means He has two hands. If Allah says He has two eyes, He means He has two eyes. His hands and His eyes may not be like yours or mine, but He does have them. So you don't go around trying to read a hidden meaning in that, like so many of these other crazy, deviant Muslims are doing today. They call themselves getting closer to Allah by doing this, when in reality they are deviating far away from Allah. They are deviating far away from Him. Okay? So we have to understand, guys, by sticking to the Quran, we're sticking to the words of Allah. And this means we're not taken away from what He says. We're not rejecting what He says. And we're not adding to what He says. We're not trying to find a hidden message or a hidden meaning. Okay, there is no lucky charms hidden in the Quran. Okay, so these are all just different examples of what happens to people who abandon the Quran. Remember, abandoning the Quran means not practicing what you preach. Okay. Not pondering the meaning of the words of Allah. Not obeying Allah's command. It also implies innovating, adding to what Allah says and taking away from what He says. All of these are examples of abandoning the Quran. And again, once you abandon the Quran, that's it. That's it. Then your iman is nothing. Your iman will disappear. And you'll end up with a person who has a dead heart. You'll end up as a person with a dead heart because you will have no iman in there. Okay? So we're going to stop right here for today. And then tomorrow we're going to continue with the next chapter, which talks about how to preserve the Quran. How to preserve the Quran. How to keep the Quran alive in our hearts. So we'll stop right here, and if you guys have any questions, inshallah, go ahead and ask them.